Thank you, Mr. Ron Holloway, and good morning to everybody after the days of unleavened bread. I'd like to especially welcome Mr. Matt Boyce, who has come to services today. I had previously invoked some of his wisdom in a sermon, and he has indicated that he might come again. He told me another joke. It was a joke he told me, and I used in sermon, and he said he had told me another joke. He said if I would use that other joke, he would come to the services and listen to it. I'm not using it. I didn't know he was coming to. Sorry. But yeah, I'm promising to do that. I think it's on June 6th. Is that what I said, Ron? Something like that. Early June, whenever. I will be gone. Well, we will be gone to Eastern Europe for until almost Pentecost, which is May 24th. And I'll be back then. And first time in Elmira after that, I'll give a sermon using that joke. So that's your invitation.
Well, thank you.
In doing today's service from here, welcome to the people in Buffalo as well. And anybody who may be online, I think possibility the Purdos would be online with us today. But welcome to anybody who is. This represents a change to the schedule. And in retrospect, maybe the medicine was worse than the disease. We had scheduled a service using logging on to Cincinnati today initially. I thought, well, we've been logging on to Cincinnati more than I wish we had. So let's try and have a live service, even though we had a service yesterday, two services yesterday, and still I thought maybe it's better to have a live service than to log on to Cincinnati. And now I'm thinking, you probably heard me so many times, you wish we'd logged on to Cincinnati instead. So maybe the remedy is worse than the disease. All the instructions that the Bible gives us are not always totally clear. Sometimes we may see something that causes us to wonder or have a little bit of a question mark in what sort of behavior we are to make as a result of that instruction. Or, in this case, I'm going to give you two different instructions and look at what that might mean to us. Number one, we have a direct instruction from Christ. We covered that direct instruction during the Passover service. I believe I read that section, which we'll get back to. Mr. Holloway read other sections, but I think this particular instruction came out of the part that I had during the service. But there's a subsequent instruction which seems to be saying something a little bit different to us. So I want to look at that secondary instruction in the sermonette. For your information, Matt, we have a 15-minute sermonette, and then after some more singing and some announcements, then we'll have a sermon which will last an hour. I'm in the sermonette right now. So there is a subsequent instruction that's a little bit different. I've used that instruction recently as well during some sermons. But I want to look at today one scripture which tells us to come out of this world. Now, yesterday I talked about an allegory that exists about the Israelites coming out of Egypt and going to the Red Sea and then crossing the Red Sea. So that's an example of coming out of the world. I mean, it is allegorically to come out of this world, to be different. Here's Christ's prayer from the book of John. John chapter 17, we call the Lord's Prayer. We have in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, what is called by the world the Lord's Prayer. But here we come to the end of Christ's life. He knows it's the end of his life. He knows it's the last night he will be alive. And so at that point, John chapter 17 devotes the whole chapter to the prayer that Christ prayed. We call that the Lord's Prayer, the true Lord's Prayer, because he's expressing his heart totally to God the Father at that point. One verse. John chapter 17 and verse 15. He is talking about here to God the Father. He is praying to God the Father about his the people of God. And he says to God the Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. I've heard different interpretations of that. Some say from the evil one, who is, of course, Satan the devil. And some say from the evil things that may happen to them in the world. But he does not say that he is praying to God the Father that God the Father will take us out. We have a problem? No audio. Do we have audio? Okay. He is not praying to God the Father that we would be taken out of the world. In fact, if you look at that, there's a converse to that, isn't it? If he's not going to take us out of the world, what is he saying? That we will be left in the world. I mean, there's no hardly any middle ground to that. If he's praying that you don't take them out of the world, saying to us, and we take instruction from that prayer, don't we, about what is expected of us, that we're going to be left in the world. It isn't what we hope for. It isn't what we like. It's not all that much fun. We're going to be subjected to things that we don't like, things which are violation of God's way of life, and yet we're exposed to them. We have to deal with them. In dealing with them, strength is built. Like going to the gym, a lot of people have been lately going to the gym and spending time there, taking a little bit of weight off, but also building a bit of strength. If we're left in the world, and we got to deal with the situations that are in the world, strength is being built spiritually in a similar way to what happens when we lift weights, exercise, do those things physically, which strengthen us physically. I thought about in relationship to this verse of Scripture, individual in prison in Tartu, Estonia, whom I visit on every trip. His name is Valdor Vesingi. Valdor, I've been visiting him now since 2005, so 10 years I've been visiting him there in prison. And he's now up for parole. He hopes that he may be paroled soon. And he sort of pours his heart out to me when I'm there about whether or not he's going to be paroled. Originally, he said, I never want to leave this prison because this is where my life changed. And God dealt with me in here. So I'm happy with where I am. But then he started to do different things to serve in the work of God. For your information, Matt, he's translated a lot of literature for us. He's a capable translator. He's a very smart man. And so now he started to feel that he would like to leave the prison because he could serve more effectively in God's work on the outside than on the inside. And so he's sort of torn between leaving and going. And he he has said to me, it says, and I look at this as being similar to what Christ's prayer is saying, don't take them out of the world. Well, he's being left in that prison the same as we're kind of being left in a prison of the world. But he feels that he has been strengthened by being there. And that his whole life has changed as a result of being there. He feels that God could never and would never have dealt with him under other circumstances. Of course, we know God can deal. He can't. But God can deal with us under any circumstance that he wants to. But that's his feeling. Sort of reverberates in my mind in relationship to this scripture. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. But there's a second instruction. And this is one that I really kind of want to focus on in this sermonette. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. First three verses of Revelation 18 have to do with an angel with a strong voice talking about Babylon. Now, Babylon is a symbol of the present world around us. This is dealing strictly with the end of the age. Historically, there was a Babylon going way back to the time of Nimrod, not that long as we would view it after the flood of Noah. That was the original Babylon. And there God confused the languages and divided the nations. We have in this world today a society very similar where things are divided, confused. There are all kind of religious differences. There are all kind of linguistic differences. There are a lot of differences in this present world that remind us of the things of Babylon. And so the Bible refers to the present evil society around us as Babylon. Verse 4. I heard another voice. So second voice, first voice was from the angel that's talking about Babylon is fallen and so on. But here that I heard another voice. And while the first voice was directed toward maybe the world and the society as a whole, this second voice is directed to a different set of recipients, listeners. Hazel lost an earring this morning, and so that's not necessary for her to hear, but I just thought about that when I pulled on my ear. We are to listen to this voice. This voice is not directed toward Babylon. This voice is directed toward God's people. Separate, very different audience of people. I heard another voice from heaven saying, here's the focus of this, come out of her, my people. Her being Babylon. Her being the present evil society around us. It's sort of different from what Christ prayed at the Passover evening, at that Passover service, isn't it? When he said, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. Here this voice says, come out of her, my people. Now, that puts a responsibility on us. That's the difference, isn't it? Because in the prayer to God the Father, he said, I don't pray that you. It's a you versus us, in a sense. We have a responsibility, and this comes down to, this verse of Scripture comes down to the very end of the age, just at the end of this society. And maybe it's time specific. I don't know if I'm giving you a real separating between these two scriptures. I'm not sure that I totally understand why Christ prayed to God the Father, don't take them out of the world. And then here, this angel says, speaking to God's people, at the very end of the age, come out of her, my people. But there's a time distinction between them. Here's why it says. So that, or that, it, you are not partakers of her sins. Two things here. So that you don't be partakers of her sins. Well, what's he saying there? He's saying there comes a point in time where if we don't exit this society as a whole, we're going to be responsible for being partakers in those sins, and we're going to be held responsible for the sins of the society as a whole. Food for thought, isn't it? Here's the second thing. Come out of her, continuing, that you receive not of her plagues. Now, I've read some of the literature from times gone by, and it might emphasize a lot more strongly, or sometimes just omit the first part of this two-part instruction. Doesn't even mention coming out of her so that you don't be partakers of her sins, but emphasizes coming out of Babylon so that you don't have to participate in the plagues, that you're not a recipient of the plagues. I tend to think, personal opinion, I think it's more than personal opinion, I can give you scriptures to substantiate what I'm about to say. The most important thing is not to be partakers of the sin. Wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. By contrast, it is a gift of God that is eternal life. We don't have eternal life, but we can receive eternal life through the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It really, in one verse of Scripture, starkly contrasts life and death and how you end up with either one. So, the point being, partaking of the sins by staying too deeply involved in this world ends up being something for which we would be held responsible sin-wise, and the wages of sin is death. So I think that's a lot more stringent than the second part, which human beings tend to emphasize, that you not be the recipients of the plague, of her plague. This world is going to go through a whole lot of difficulties. We read in the past 10 days about the plagues of Egypt and how all of those plagues in Egypt came upon Egypt. And there's prophecies in Revelation about a lot of plagues that are going to come on this world. And do we want to be partakers of those plagues? No. But if we had to make a choice between the two, which is the most difficult? We'd rather be partakers of the physical plagues and still not lose our eternal lives. So this contrast is being or being portrayed here in this verse of Scripture. Here's the conclusion. I would assume that we cannot be expected to be brought out of this world, to be taken out of this world. I do not pray that you should be taken out of this world. We need, therefore, to be combating the difficulties of this world and building strength, spiritual strength, in ourselves. So that, first of all, we don't be partakers of the sins that are going to be, that this world is going to be held responsible for. But we need to be less concerned about receiving the plagues, the physical plagues that are going to come, and
But still, there's a big element of concern there as well. Hopefully, we can get both results. We can come out of this world. We'll not be held accountable for the sins of the world, partakers of the sins of the world. And as well, not have to suffer the plagues. We may be able to get both results. But I can tell you, I can give you a substantial number of examples of people who were not able to achieve both results. You know, what happened to Peter? They say he was crucified upside down. He got some of the plague, but he's clearly receiving eternal life. James was killed in Jerusalem by being pushed off of the tower, they say there. And so he suffered a rather traumatic physical death, but he has eternal life. Paul, they took him to Rome and had him sit down or recline, and they chopped his head off. So he received the physical plagues, you might say, at least out of work. So if we have to choose between the two, and I hope most of you don't, I think some of you might. You would choose, first of all, to not be partakers of the sins, and secondly, that you not be recipients of the plagues. So that's the sermonette, and ways to look at the verses of Scripture that Christ prayed, and the book of Revelation.